Hello everyone, and welcome to Inspiration Sounds, and to more stories from the heart of the world. As always, I'm Budhsamudra Knox, and I thank you for joining me. This is episode 57, and wherever you are in the world, I hope you've had a great day. Well folks, today I thought we'd do some stories on the great Mughal emperor, the Shah Jahan, who was in fact one of the grandsons of Akbar the Great. Now, Shah Jahan ruled the Mughal Empire from 1628 to 1658, some time ago, and he's considered to be one of the great emperors in the dynasty of Mughal emperors. In fact, his reign is considered to be somewhat like Akbar's in that it was a golden time for the Mughal Empire. Anyway, a few of those stories from his life. I hope you'll find these interesting. They're definitely good to read, so sit back and relax. Maybe have a coffee and a toasted bagel with some cream cheese. But whatever you're doing, I'm glad you could join me. I'm Budhsamudra, and this is Inspiration Sounds. Today's stories are taken from Sri Chinmoy's book, The Mughal Emperors. And by way of an introduction to Shah Jahan, Sri Chinmoy writes, "The Reign of Shah Jahan." After Jahangir's death, Khurram defeated his brother Shahryar, eliminated all other claims to the throne, and proclaimed himself emperor. He took the name Shah Jahan, meaning sovereign of the world. He then exiled the still influential Nur Jahan to Lahore and quickly subdued Rajput opposition. Shah Jahan's reign thus began on a powerful and decisive note. Shah Jahan waged war in southern India and Persia, and he was able to expand and consolidate the Mughal Empire considerably. He also constructed many important buildings and mosques. He even built his own city, Shah Jahanabad, now Old Delhi, at Delhi. And upon the entrance to his hall of private audience in his palace, he placed a Persian inscription in letters of gold. "If there can be paradise on earth, it is this, it is this, it is this." Shah Jahan's Thirst, written by Sri Chinmoy and dramatized by Budhsamudra Knox. Once Emperor Shah Jahan went out on an expedition with some of his relatives, friends, and admirers. He was walking quite fast ahead of his entourage and, at one point, he became separated from the group. The emperor was not familiar with the area and, unfortunately, he got lost. His friends and relatives searched and searched for him, but they could find no trace of him. After some time, the emperor became very thirsty. Alas, there was no water nearby. Then Shah Jahan saw an old man carrying a container of water on his back. The emperor said to him, "My friend, I am parched with thirst. Can you spare some water for me?" The old man did not recognize the emperor. He replied, "All right, since you are so thirsty, I shall give you some." He poured a large quantity of water into a container and offered it to the emperor. The emperor began drinking the water very quickly. The old man became worried, for he felt that it was not advisable for anyone to drink so fast. Since he was also carrying a sack of grass on his back, he took a handful of grass and threw it into the container from which the emperor was drinking. Shah Jahan became furious. "What are you doing? Why did you throw grass into my water? You were so kind to me to give me this water? Well, you have saved my life. Now why are you preventing me from drinking the remainder of the water?" "My good friend," the old man explained, "I have a number of asses and I never allow them to drink water rapidly. If I put grass in their water, they drink more slowly and carefully. If you drink too fast, you may develop colic pain. I was only trying to be considerate for your health. In the meantime, Shah Jahan's friends and admirers had discovered the emperor. From a distance, they saw the old man throw grass into the emperor's water, and immediately they became furious. They came running to the scene in order to strike and beat the old man mercilessly. But Shah Jahan stopped them. "No, no. This man has saved my life. It was only out of concern for me that he put grass into my water." Then the emperor turned to the old man and said, "You do not have to make your living by working with asses and donkeys any more. I am all gratitude to you. I am making you the head of a village because you have saved my life." The Muslim Mendicant, written by Sri Chinmoy, dramatized by Budsamudra Knox. Shah Jahan had heard many good reports about a particular Muslim mendicant. People said that he was constantly praying to Allah and that he was very pious and spiritual. Everybody felt that this mendicant said and did the right thing at all times, and they greatly appreciated and admired him. The emperor was also full of appreciation for him, and he had a strong desire to meet him. Of course, since he was the emperor, Shah Jahan could have asked to see the mendicant at any time. But Shah Jahan never wanted to summon him or in any way force him to come to court. One day, when Shah Jahan was on the third floor of his palace with some of his close friends and relatives, this particular mendicant happened to pass by the palace gates. The emperor's companions saw him from the window and said to the emperor, "Oh, look, here is the mendicant whom you have wanted to meet for such a long time." Shah Jahan said to them, "Since he is near the palace, please tell him that I would be extremely grateful if he would come to see me for a few minutes. Tell him that he does not even have to walk up the stairs. We will hang a basket off the balcony by a rope and lift him up to the third floor." The mendicant was a very humble man, and he was extremely surprised to hear that the emperor himself wanted to see him. He said, "If His Majesty wants to see me, how can I refuse?" So he sat in the basket, and Shah Jahan and a few others pulled him up. The emperor welcomed the mendicant respectfully and said, "I am happy and grateful that you have accepted my invitation. Today I wish to discuss spiritual matters with you. All the time I am with people who do not practice spirituality, and I am also in that same category. If I wanted to, I could make time for my spiritual life. Unfortunately, I do not have sincere aspiration, but I do appreciate you and admire you very much." "Oh, Your Majesty, I do not deserve your appreciation and admiration. You and your subjects see only my face. You do not know what is going on inside my mind. My mind is uglier than the ugliest. I have so many bad thoughts. Outwardly, I may appear very calm and peaceful, but inwardly my mind is very undivine. So I do not deserve your appreciation." The emperor smiled and said, "I deeply appreciate your sincerity, but I know and I also feel that you are truly a very pure and pious man. Please tell me how you have become so close to Allah. Is it because you pray and meditate all the time?" "Oh no, Your Majesty, no. You think that I am close to Allah, and many others also believe the same. But I tell you, I am not closer to Allah than any of His other children. It is like the relationship between an emperor and his subjects. I am one of your most useless subjects. I have no capacity. Would I ever have dared to request an audience with a great emperor like you? A beggar, an insignificant creature like me, would never ask you to grant him an audience. It is your kindness, your affection, your love, and your concern for a useless fellow like me that enabled me to come and speak with you today. I do not deserve to see you at all. You wanted to see me and honor me. If I had cherished pride and haughtiness, I would not have come to see you. I would have thought, oh, although he is the emperor, he does not pray or meditate, so why should I go to him? I do not need him. But I know that I am nothing by myself. I was also moved by your invitation. Similarly, I am moved by the call of Allah. Allah does not need an insignificant creature like me. Allah does not need anyone. Out of his infinite love and compassion, he calls me, and I respond. In this way, he calls each and every person in secret. But very few are lucky enough to be able to respond to his unconditional call. Because I have been fortunate enough to respond to his call, I am becoming close to him. It is not my capacities or my qualities that have brought me close to Allah, but his unconditional love and compassion for his creation. In the same way, he can and will call each and every human being on earth. Alas, how many will ever respond to his call? Thank you for listening to episode 57 of Inspiration Sounds and more stories from the heart of the world. I hope you enjoyed those three stories there on the Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan. They were a lot of fun to read, and I have to admit they were quite illuminating. All of these great people do seem to possess a lot of wisdom and knowledge, so I hope you enjoyed them. Next week, we'll be doing something entirely different on Inspiration Sounds, trying to keep it all fresh and exciting for you. Wherever you are, I hope you have a great week. I'm Budh Samudra. Bye-bye for now.